So what I didn't tell you last week about that 16-year-old boy who was crying in that car was what happened to him earlier in the week. Earlier in the week was youth camp, and I was excited about going to youth camp. I had raised the money. They had fundraisers, and I went out and raised the money in the first week. And I came back the next week, and I just started going to youth group. And the youth pastor was like, "Holy cow, this guy raised all the money to go to this in 1 week." He was very surprised. We were headed over to Lake Powell, and we were going to stay on houseboats. And there was going to be skiing and water skiing, jet skiing. I was totally looking forward to it. Plus, there was this girl that I had a crush on. And being 16, there was a hope that you might get to see her in a bathing suit. She was hot. But on the first day, I managed to fall and scrape my leg, and I had a huge gash all the way down. I had butterflies all the way, clips all the way down, and it tore it to the bone. You could actually see the bone on my shin. It was pretty nasty. And then on day two, I got a sunburn after being out on the skiing boats, like significantly bad, to the point where the rest of the week I had to be in the shade, helping out with dishes. I was like a lobster of a lobster. It was horrendous. And so I didn't get to enjoy all the fun games and everything that everyone else went to. I was hurt. My leg was messed up. I had a sunburn. I actually spent most of the time in the lake behind the houseboat holding onto the railings because in the water it was so cold it felt great. And then on day three we had a small group time, and our small group leader told us he had gone through a very difficult process of being healed through, he had a porn and masturbation problem. I remember exactly thinking when he said that, I'm like, what a loser. Wait, did my mom put this guy up to this? What, does somebody know? How did he know that I had a problem? Complete denial. That boy crying in the car was far more broke than he realized. Not only wounded by being fatherless, and that's what I spoke about last week, but also just the week had wore myself down to the point where I was physically broke. I was a lobster. I couldn't show up physically, and that's what I was. I was athletic and doing sports, and I couldn't go out and do that with the friends and different stuff. And so driving back in that car, I'm confronted with the question, you may not have a biological father, but do you think you could be fathered by God? It was an unimaginable offer. So what does this story have to do with anything else I'm going to talk about being a warrior? Well, let me tell you a story about another group of people long ago that were promised a land. And that was Israel. Moses led them out of Egypt. And the scouts went out and they looked for the promised land, and they came back, and the people, they were hesitant. They didn't think that they could take the land. And they were punished for that. And for the next 40 years, they were lost. They were punished because of being passive and not trusting God that land was promised to them. And they spent that time in the desert because of that punishment and passivity and disbelief. I think everyone kind of gets the story on that one, so I won't go into it too much. But thinking about that story and how it relates back to my life, it makes me wonder how my life would have been different if I had not been passive in my life. If I had truly embraced that offer that was given to me in the car about being fathered by God, I had moved on from my porn and masturbation problem. But instead, I felt like the army was my punishment. That was my wilderness. And that's what I dealt with. And all the sports that I did, I went at it alone. It may not have been 40 years, but 15 years is a pretty long time. That's 2/3 of my life. Somewhere around that, I don't know. I'm not doing the math right now. But it's a long period of time. So Israel was punished because they didn't fight, and there was a reason for their detour into the wilderness and the consequence for their not fighting. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We live in a world of war. We talk about that a lot. There is an enemy, and he's after us. And there are things worth fighting for. And often, we choose the path of least resistance, like water. We're choosing a path that's easy. It's nice. It's comfy. It's fluffy. It's cute. But maybe that path could also look like something of, I'll just suck it up. I'll take the high road. It looks like a badge of honor, but in perception it's just emasculating. And when the decisions of how we go about life and those decisions about taking it on alone play out, we begin to wonder and inevitably we feel shame. We're sitting in a position where we're resigned to let the world happen just around us. We're not a part of it. The world gets the best of us. And stuff happens, and we don't know why, and we're not a part of that. We make excuses, and that's because of our passivity, our being paralyzed in our own story and not willing to step out and fight for something. My biggest fear is not being present, present for my family and present for my kids. You know, recently, they started doing sports, and I go to soccer practice and different stuff, and I'm staring at the other parents. And they're not engaged with their kids. They're spending the time on their cell phones doing stuff, and their kids out school playing soccer, or their things at school where the dads aren't even there, or they show up and then they're back in the corner on their cell phones and not watching the kids or doing anything. They're not engaged. And if that is just what you see on the surface at these events, what's going on behind that? Every time I go to those, I get more emboldened to just wonder. I even miss stuff. And just how much that they're missing. I start to begin to write, other people have, you get in this point of despair, and this is as good as it gets. How do I get here? Your passivity and not fighting. Some of you may not know or might not believe that there's anything worth fighting for. And what I might say to you is that you've already been ravaged and you're a victim. Here's a guy that knows what's fighting for.
Listen, jerk, when I tell you to come, you better come.
What, are you gonna cry now? Come on, cry, baby, cry for me. Come on, cry.
Deep in the recesses of my brain, a tiny red-hot little flame began to grow. Something had happened. A fuse blew, and I had gone out of my skull.
Ralphie, can you grab the lights in the back, please? Scott Farkas. But how often is that us? The world is crying, taunting us like Scott Farkas. We live in a world of war, and there are things worth fighting for. I'm not totally discounting my 15 years. Being fathered by God, it was an incredible time through that cowboy, and that's what I shared last week. And it was a wilderness, but he came after me and he fathered me through that. And God will track us down and he will organize circumstances and chaos in our lives that we draw closer to him. In one way or another, he will find us. We might stray like a sheep. And if a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hill and go after the one that wanders off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about the one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. I love his heart. He comes after us. We may wander, but he's there and he's going to pursue us. He's going to organize events in order for us to find him through that. But recently, I looked at this a little differently. And although I love God's heart in this, the sheep that ran away was my decision. I was the sheep that decided to make a decision to run away from him. He pursued me in that. And that sheep ran away. Or fell down doing things in terms of just being passive, compromising with life. And sometimes those decisions, we just need to say, stop it. And decisions in our lives that we go about. And decide to say that there's enough is enough, and we put our foot down. Here's one example of that.
Dr. Switzer?
Yes, come in. I'm just washing my hands.
I'm Catherine Bigman. Janet Carlisle referred me.
Oh, yes. Still being very alive in a box.
Yes, that's me. Should I lay down?
Oh, no, we don't do that anymore. Just have a seat. And let me tell you a bit about our billing. I charge $5 for the first 5 minutes, and then absolutely nothing after that. How does that sound?
That sounds great. Too good to be true, as a matter of fact.
Well, I can almost guarantee you that our session won't last the full 5 minutes. Now, we don't do any insurance billing, so you would either have to pay in cash or by check.
Wow, okay.
And I don't make change.
All right.
And go.
Go.
Well, tell me about the problem that you wish to address.
Oh, okay. Well, I have this fear of being buried alive in a box. I start thinking about being buried alive, and I begin to panic.
Has anyone ever tried to bury you alive in a box?
No, but truly thinking about it does make my life horrible. I mean, I can't go through tunnels or be in an elevator or in a house, anything boxy.
So what you're saying is you're claustrophobic.
Yes, that's it.
All right, well, let's go, Catherine. I'm going to say two words to you right now. I want you to listen to them very, very carefully. Then I want you to take them out of the office with you and incorporate them into your life.
Shall I write them down?
Well, if it makes you comfortable, it's just two words. We find most people can remember them.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay, here they are.
Stop it! I'm sorry? Stop it! Stop it?
Yes, S-T-O-P, new word, I-T.
So, what are you saying?
You know, it's funny. I say two simple words, and I cannot tell you the amount of people who say exactly the same thing you're saying. I mean, this is not Yiddish, Catherine. This is English. Stop it.
So I should just stop it.
There you go. I mean, you don't want to go through life being scared of being buried alive in a box, do you? I mean, that sounds frightening. Then stop it.
I can't. I mean, it's been with me since childhood.
No, we don't go there. Just stop.
So I should just stop being afraid of being buried alive in a box.
You got it. Good girl. Well, it's only been 3 minutes, so that will be $3.
Actually, I only have a five, so.
Well, I don't make change.
Then I guess I'll take the full 5 minutes.
Fine. All right. Well, what other problems would you like to address?
I'm bulimic. I stick my fingers down my throat.
Stop it! Not of some kind? Don't do that.
But I'm compelled to. My mom used to call me
fatty. No. No, we don't go there.
But I've been having this dream.
No, we don't go there either.
But my horoscope did say...
We definitely don't go there. Just stop it. What else?
Well, I have self-destructive relationships with men.
Stop it! You want to be with a man, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, yes.
Well, then stop it. Don't be such a big baby.
I wash my hands a lot.
That's all right.
It is?
I wash my hands all the time. There's a lot of germs out there. Uh-huh. Yeah, don't worry about that one.
I'm afraid to drive.
Well, stop it! How are you going to get around? Get in the car and drive, you kook!
Stop it!
What's the problem, Kat?
I don't like this. I don't like this therapy at all. You're just telling me to stop it.
And you don't like that?
No, I don't.
So you think we're moving too fast, is that it?
Yes. Yes, I do.
All right, then let me give you 10 words that I think will clear everything up for you. You want to get a pad and a pencil for this one?
All right.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, here are the 10 words. Stop it or I'll bury you alive in a box!
And with that, we have a choice to stop it. Our decisions of being passive, our self-destructive behaviors. Like, what are we talking about? You're probably wondering at this point in time, Eric, what are you talking about? On the other hand, some of you might just seem that every decision that you ever made is wrong, or that no matter how hard you try, it always seems to be the wrong decision. You try to do the right thing, and it always just ends up wrong. And so you're just wondering, what's next? What do I go from here? Here's a solution to that one.
Speaking of having it all, where were you?
I went to the beach.
Oh, the beach!
It's not working, Jerry. It's just not working.
What is it that isn't working?
Why did it all turn out like this for me? I had so much promise. I was personable. I was bright. Oh, maybe not academically speaking, but I was perceptive. I always know when someone's uncomfortable at a party.
That happened over there?
It all became very clear to me sitting out there today that every decision I've ever made in my entire life has been wrong. My life is the complete opposite of everything I want it to be. Every instinct I have in every aspect of life, be it something to wear, something to eat, it's often wrong. Everyone.
Tuna on toast, coleslaw, cup of coffee.
Yeah. No, wait a minute. I always have tuna on toast. Nothing's ever worked out for me with tuna on toast. I want the complete opposite of tuna on toast. chicken salad on rye, untoasted, with a side of potato salad and a cup of tea.
Well, there's no telling what can happen from this.
You know, chicken salad's not the opposite of tuna. Salmon's the opposite of tuna, because salmon swim against the current, and the tuna swim with it.
Good for the tuna.
George, you know, that woman just looked at you.
So what? What am I supposed to do?
Go talk to her.
Elaine, bald men with no jobs and no money who live with their parents don't approach strange women.
Well, here's your chance to try the opposite. Instead of tuna salad and being intimidated by women, chicken salad and going right up to them.
Yeah, I should do the opposite. I should.
If every instinct you have is wrong, then the opposite would have to be right.
Yes, I will do the opposite. I used to sit here and do nothing and regret it for the rest of the day. So now I will do the opposite and I will do something. Excuse me, I couldn't help but notice that you were looking in my direction.
Oh, yes, I was. You just ordered the same exact lunch as me.
My name is George. I'm unemployed and I live with my parents.
I'm Victoria. Hi. What are we going to do?
The opposite of his decisions was life. It's our decision to stop it, to make opposite decisions. It's our decision every day to wake up and choose to put on the armor of God and to make a different decision. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take a stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against the flesh and the blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces and the evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on your full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up your shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And these are fighting words. As metaphors to putting on an armor, to a battle, draws something out in us. It's a choice. And often the choices that we make are out of fear, why we're passive, why we don't decide to engage in life, why we don't decide to engage with our kids or speak to our spouse or do things. Fear is just an idea. It's nothing more than that. Are you fearful? Are you fearful now? Quite a bit different. I'm fearful now of that. Fear is just an idea until it becomes personal and you decide to step out and act in it. I wrote my diary and my journal. I had some quiet time back in January. And this was heavy on my heart. And I wrote, 2013 is about the year of being bold and honest for me. This is what I wrote. I'm not trying to live the day or night to survive, but to live it and live it amazingly. To do that, we must be bold to step out and exert the energy to repel the enemy and not let the noise of the distraction become the focus of our survival, but instead be free. Embrace what is now, live the moment, because we cannot have that back. As the guardian of the family, referring to myself, we must be protecting it, fighting to rescue and live free. Isn't that what it's about? Being free, at the end of the day, being free, being able to choose things and not live in captivity and fear. Freedom to choose what we eat, what we drive, how we want to live our life. Freedom for our kids to choose theirs. we can grow them up, the opportunity for them. All that came from God. He's a warrior, and he built us in his image. And he has called us into battle every day. Every day is a battle. We live in a world of war. Light is sweet, and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. However many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all. But let them remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. You are young. Be happy while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. So then, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for your youth and vigor are meaningless. Life. Live life free. That's what I get out of that. It doesn't say live it in captivity. That's just going to be judged. Your passivity is going to be judged. He gave us life. Embrace it. He created it. I mean, what's more important? Checking your email on your phone 3 minutes or seeing your 3-year-old smile? Those are things that I'm faced with every day. There will always be email. Our aggressive spirit of a warrior needs to be able to filter the world to focus on what is most important. Our aggressive spirit of a warrior needs to be able to filter the world to focus on what is important. Our battles, everything's not a battle. There are certain things that are a battle in our life, and we need to choose which ones are most important. I want to be aware of this and eventually be able to do this without thought. Not constantly reminded, but just act out of that and be strong in that. I want to know the things I want and to desire them. That was the other half of my journal time in January. I was at a place where I didn't know what I wanted. I didn't know the desires. It was like I had some ideas of things, but I didn't really was honest with myself and say, this is what I truly desire. So we're going to have some quiet time right now. What I want you guys to do is think about two questions. You can write these down. Ask the Lord, where am I being passive and living in resignation? Where in your life right now are you living and you're not living out of that? You're not willing to engage your family, work, life, your kids. You're leaving things unsettled. You're procrastinating life. In the second half, make a list of, this is what I did. Lord, I want, I desire. And my list, they were pretty shallow when I started them off. I would like a new car. I would like this. I would like to have a better relationship. I would like to have... And it became more and more as I got to the end of my list. And after about a minute or two of the shallow things, the things that really started to come out on my list. So take a couple minutes and just think about this. Write a couple lists. For the second one, start shallow and then go deeper. when I was done with my list, I was praying about it with God as I was reviewing it. And he told me, you have the power to do everything on your list. I've given that to you. Win. W-I-N. Win.
Why don't you go get some sleep?
Oh, no, no, I feel great. Listen, I've been thinking. If you don't want me mixing with Creed no more, we'll make out some other kind of way, you know?
There's one thing I want you to do for me.
What?
Come here.
What?
Win.
What are we waiting for? Take it!
Every warrior trains. And he's tested. I don't think we all chase chickens, though. It's easy to think about a warrior as a soldier. Some pictures of me. And when I set out in the beginning for these different talks, I chose warrior because it was easy. I was a soldier. I could talk about being a warrior and what it means to be a warrior. I was in the Army 12 years, did lots of crazy things. Marco knows all the stories. And that's where I left you off last week, the cliffhanger. See, the Army was my cowboy to let me know that I had what it took to be the warrior for my family. What I ended up figuring it out was that cowboy phase was the Army phase. Warrior phase was my family phase. The symbolism is rather funny and amusing in some ways, at least for me. that as I returned from Iraq, I was deploying into a combat zone of my family. We used to joke about it, call it Fort Home, Camp Couch. That was kind of the things in the Army of what you would call it. What I've learned is that family is worth fighting for. It's not a piece of Army gear issued to you that you drag around your whole career. It's something that if you don't do that, then you get pushed, you get dragged along the way. Life as a warrior is rough and it's challenging. There are scary parts. I've been more afraid in the warrior phase of my life than I was ever in my cowboy phase and all the Army stuff that I ever did. The warrior phase was by far the hardest. Things like tell my wife I have a porn or masturbation problem. Tell my wife we have $2 in the bank account and don't get paid for another 10 days. Tell my wife that I'm afraid to talk to her. That was just recent in about the last 2 years. Yes. I'm afraid to talk to her, but then to tell her that I'm afraid to talk to her. That was a big movement forward. You know what she said? What, do I have horns? I said, sometimes. Stop it! Passivity is compromise. It doesn't allow the world to feel the weight of what you have to offer. It is the thief that comes at night to steal, kill, and destroy. I think if anybody broke into my house, those are fighting words. Being a warrior isn't about no, but it's about yes. And saying yes. Enough is enough. I choose yes. It's time to say yes. Do you know what yes is? Because to me, yes is desire. This last year, I'd become so kind of disgusted with desire and trying to find it that I just wanted to be honest to myself. And a commitment I made to myself was very easy. 3 things. Wake up every day. Be bold. Wear the armor. Let the world feel the weight of my glory. Be bold. Wear the armor and let the world feel the weight of my glory. And God will sort out the rest. I shall not worry what others think. I shall live by my principles and values. I will tell the honest truth and be honest to myself. And if I do these things, I will be victorious with myself through God. The point I'm trying to get across is it starts with desire. The point to engage, to move forward, to do the opposite, like George Costanza. And we must be free and faith. In order to do that, we're going to face some evil things. You're going to face spiritual warfare. You're going to be tested. But you have the authority to take back ground. Our life is a training ground. And we're playing with live ammo. And in the heat of battle, just pausing for just a sec to get a drink of water, to take a time out, to go to your man cave, to go have a drink or do something, that's when the enemy slips in. We have a warrior heart because God has a warrior heart, and we are designed to act, not like Adam was in the beginning, or Israel, where they sat passive. You have to have the eye of the tiger, or the lion. But one last video for you guys.
Don't ever let somebody tell you you can't do something. Not even me. You got a dream, you got to protect it. Can't do something themselves, they want to tell you you can't do it. You want something, go get it. Period.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
This kid's going to be the best kid in the world. This kid's going to be somebody better than anybody ever knew.
All of you chumps are going to bow when I whoop him. All of you. I know you got him. I know you got him, Dick. But the man's in trouble. I'm going to show you how great I am.
But somewhere along the line, you changed. You stopped being you. You let people stick a finger in your face and tell you you're no good. And when things got hard, you started looking for something to blame. Like a big shadow. Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that.
He just wants to finish. His dad's trying to run into the track to stop him. He's going to tell him, Derek, don't.
Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were all meant to shine as children do. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others.
Envision what you desire. Ask God. And establish the kingdom. Invite him into your desires. Invite the kingdom into your life. And he will fulfill that. Same slide. What I've talked about today is no different than what we've been going through Sunday service. Here's your enlistment. The next couple minutes, pray. I reject any spirit of fear and resignation, passivity, and I command that I become free. Say it out loud. And then invite him into your desires. Invite the kingdom into your heart. Invite him into those things that you wrote earlier on your list. And ask him what that looks like. It's time for battle.